Today on the Soda Pod, we have an extended Hoppy Hour, the American Thanksgiving version of the Hoppy Hour here, as Hoppy had an exciting weekend, and I got some great beers to highlight on tap. We have a ton of Minnesota Wild news and notes. What a few games it has been for them, and we'll end off the show talking about the Minnesota Gophers football team, as, oh my God, what a spectacle it was yesterday. Historic game yesterday for the NCAA football team. All that and more in episode 230 of the Soda Pod. Let's go. From the wild woods of Vancouver Island, welcome to the Soda Pod. Isha Jerome here alongside the State of Hoppy. And thank you for joining us wherever and whenever you are listening. What's up, man? Happy Thanksgiving.
Wow. Thank you so much.
American Thanksgiving.
That's the first time you've ever called it Thanksgiving. That was incredible. I'm going to have that clipped forever now.
Damn it.
It was good, man. I mean, I'm not shy about it. It's my favorite holiday. I was actually joking with some people this weekend that the pivot from like childhood to adulthood happens when you shift to liking Thanksgiving more than Christmas. That's pretty much like where that line is drawn. And for me, I think that was like 15 or 16. So
fair enough.
Here we go. But yeah, pretty shitty football games, but what else would we have expected? But lots of good food, lots of indulging in beverages, and good little recharge, even though outside of the day of Thanksgiving, I was kind of buzzing all over the place, but we'll get into that here in a little bit.
Was Josh Allen not playing? Is that why you're a little butthurt? Or like, what's going on here?
Weren't that good. Oh, okay, well, okay. I take that back. The middle game was pretty solid.
Okay.
The Cowboys versus Raiders, I just wasn't paying that much attention to it because that's kind of when we were eating and doing some stuff. But no, I mean, Lions and Bears both suck. And yeah, the night game wasn't great either. So,
oh well, it's
that butt hurt. Like I just didn't expect them to be great games, and they weren't.
There you go. They can't be bangers every year. I remember like the NBA and their New Year's game too. Like sometimes, you know, they try to put the best out there, but lately they've been going stars heavy, and the games have just been like meh. If it's not Golden State and Lakers, then it's some other random matchup there. But before we get into the Hoppy Hour here, Hoppy will run down his weekend and we'll dive into what we're drinking. I mean, we have some NHL talk to get into. We also have a ton of Wild talk to get into, but just like three topics, we'll just hit them quickly, Hoppy, right off the bat here. Your boy Matt Murray hit the waiver wire this weekend. The Ottawa Senators, after just a limited sample size, after throwing $25 million his way, give up on the goaltender? I mean, man, I've been waiting to talk to you in particular about this topic.
I mean, first off, how much did you say he's making?
Is it four-year deal, $25 million?
Okay, yeah. Sorry, yeah. I thought I heard 35. My bad.
25. I did my research. So
you know what? I'm just going to be giddy when he gets traded to Pittsburgh with some salary retained.
Oh, my God. You think Pittsburgh fans outside of just like Hoppy here?
No, do
you think
they're Pittsburgh fans would not support that. Largely, they wouldn't.
And I mean,
at the beginning of the season they might have, but now that Tristan Jarry's looking pretty solid, people would be like, no. But then
he's crushing it.
The backup has not been good, so I don't know. But at tongue in cheek, I hope he makes a bounce back, whether that's with Ottawa or someone taking a chance on him, because again, I imagine you could trade for him pretty easily with salary retained from Ottawa if they really think he's not going to be a guy for them. He's had some issues with injury and whatnot, but and again, I think if he's in the right headspace and he's in the right situation, I think he can still be a legitimate NHL goalie. Doesn't mean that he's going to be elite, right? But
hey, he's won two Stanley Cups. Doesn't matter if they're lodged in his ears, as Patrick Waugh would say.
Two as a rookie.
Yeah.
Who else can do that?
He's 26, right? 26 or 27? Like, he's younger than me, I think.
That sounds about right. Like, I would have guessed 26, probably.
Yeah. So, I mean, you look at him and he's got some miles. He's got some miles on him, but pretty much all professional athletes do. But man, I hope he bounces back too. I've been reading, and again, this kind of gets. Okay, this gets thrown, he's still younger than me, this gets thrown in kind of every equation this year when these, when players have been falling off or the time of recovering for injuries has been extended. Apparently he had really, really bad COVID symptoms and it took him out for a long time this summer. Maybe that's a factor just coming off. Again, I don't want to throw anything out there to suggest like he's fucked long-term or anything, but maybe just coming off of that must've been traumatic on his body. Plus maybe any other injuries. Maybe it just, he was in over his head and the Ottawa Senators were a little in over their head too with these expectations this year. I don't know. But again, hope for all the best. On one of the watch-alongs I did a few days ago, some Buffalo Sabres fans jumped in and were like, why not give him a chance there? Buffalo doesn't really have anything to lose, despite them having an okay season this year. I don't know.
I was going to say, so far, they're doing okay. They've it's weird to say when they're like not even in the playoff picture, but like Buffalo's overachieved, and I think fans are probably, I don't know, probably confused. Conflicted because they probably want to lose now that they like hoping to get good draft picks and whatnot.
Yeah,
but
Shane Wright, man, he's going to be something else. Okay, speaking of the waiver wire, as we fire through just a couple other quick, you know, NHL wide topics here. Evander Kane has officially been put on waivers, and it's pretty much been known now that the San Jose Sharks just want to trade him, and they will retain as much salary as they can. Unfortunately, He got a new agent, and the first team his agent called was the Vancouver Canucks. So
he's got to get it done before Benning gets fired.
Oh my god, dude!
I could just be like the Koskinen signing.
I could be waking up Monday morning when this podcast drops, Hoppy, to Dale Tallon being the new general manager and/or president of the Vancouver Canucks, and Evander Kane, a new winger. So
both sound rough.
This is why we drink. Another quick note that I didn't even know of. Literally 5 minutes ago, Hoppy told me about this. Marc Bergevin out as general manager of the Montreal Canadiens. I mean, it is a tire fire there. So, and he's been there for so long, ups and downs. Despite what he did last year with the team, I'm not surprised because it's not like a general manager can take entire credit for 1 year of a team doing well. That's why I don't like the year-to-year GM award. I think it should be in like a 3 to 4 year span like, that's really how you see a team develop. And again, nothing against Bergevin for what he did to get the team, put the pieces in place to get them there. But again, drafted Logan Mailloux, and I think his time with the Habs is just done anyways, given that, shoot, man, when he brought in like Radulov, he was on thin ice. And that was almost like 6-7 years ago now. So
something like that.
Yeah.
And now do you hammer Dale Tallon?
Oh, God.
Probably your two choices.
Bergevin still probably.
Okay.
Yeah, because at least he'll go into the room and like slap JT Miller and Bo Horvat in the face and be like, "Make up, bitches, let's go. We have work to do." Dude, whereas Jim Benning walks in and goes, "Did you guys see my slideshow?" He likes slideshows.
PowerPoint.
Oh my god. And last but not least, Brendan Lemieux. Like, we know he's a dirty player. We know he likes to play rough around the edges. He took a chomp out of Brady Tkachuk's hand yesterday. Literally bit the guy's hand, like Walking Dead zombie style. Brady Tkachuk lifts up his hand, screaming at the ref, "This fucking guy bit me." And dude, I didn't see the captions at first. It looked like the guy stepped on his hand. That's how big of a gash was there. So Brendan Lemieux, like I said, like Walking Dead zombie style, took a bite out of Brady Tkachuk's hand. And I'm interested to see what the league does, because this wasn't just a little, you know, Alex Burrows nibble on the ear. He almost wanted to bite his hand off.
On the ear? What, on the ear?
Wasn't he bit his ear?
Bit his finger.
Finger, sorry. Who bit the ear?
I knew you were going to...
Mike Tyson? Mike
Tyson, yeah. I knew you were going to downplay that bite, too.
I mean, it was nothing.
Scumbag player.
How crazy is that? Have you seen the clip yet?
That was like, what, 10 years ago? Yeah, I watched it.
No, I mean the Tkachuk one.
Oh, no.
Oh, man, you got to check that out after. I was surprised.
I saw Z going nuts on it. I'm like, okay, I'll have to bookmark this for later.
Well, I didn't believe it at first. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Then I saw Z go off, and I was like, oh, my God, this is real. Then I, you know, went down the rabbit hole a bit. And
Jesus Christ. Isha, it's so at halftime, Vikings had a meltdown and ended up tied 14-14. Not even 5 minutes into the second half now, 28-14 San Francisco. What the fuck?
I mean, Are you surprised?
A little. They were looking good so far in this game.
Yep, it just sounds like the Vikings way. But I mean, I hope they pull it through in the final moments of the game anyways. Okay, before we get into the Hoppy Hour here, I just want to give a quick shout out to 7th Avenue Pizza and Northland Vodka, our great partners here on the Soda Pod. Hope they all had great Thanksgiving as well. And I hope you know, throughout your Thanksgiving extended weekend in the US of A, I hope you enjoyed a couple 7th Avenue pizzas. I hope you enjoyed a couple Northland Vodka cocktails. The best of the best, those two, and we love working with them. Hoppy mentioned Z, spoke Z. Check out his podcast, as always, Judd's Buds every Tuesday. You can check out the Brewery Travels podcast every Thursday. And MNCAA back this Friday, every Friday, covering all NCAA teams in the great state of Minnesota. You can hit us up on Twitter and Facebook at The Soda Pod. And a reminder that the Hockey Podcast Network and The Soda Pod are proudly powered by DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use promo code THPN upon sign up for a bonus. And if you're a regular user, plug that promo code in for a weekly deal. On the other side, let's dive into the Hoppy Hour here on episode 290 or 230 of The Soda Pod.
First, I'd like to propose a toast to UMD goaltender Alex Stalock. To Stalock!
To Stalock!
I love that stuff. Been drinking it for years. You know, I heard they recently decided to add more hops to it.
You're all hopped out?
290, I don't know where that came from. Hoppy, before we get into your weekend here, I got a few beers on tap. This one I just cracked right when we started recording here, and it's incredible. And I'm on the dark beer train, whether it's the stouts, or whether it's just the dark ales. But this, though I love white sales, and it truly is a dark ale here, darker than the winter ale I had on our last episode. This one's from White Sails. White Sails is getting a little bit more groovy with their can art. This one, the dark side, only 4%, a light dark ale. And I'm not going to lie, that kind of pissed me off a bit. It's like, make up your fucking mind, White Sails. A light dark ale. So yeah, light in percentage, but just as rich and flavorful in taste. This dark side is deceptively light boated dark ale. Boasting familiar roasted malt notes of cocoa and coffee, but finishing delicate and light without lingering dark roast bitterness. I mean, nailed it. That's exactly how I would have described it. So it is a good beer, but like I said, it's only 4%. We got to bank some Wednesday content here too. I don't know if this is going to get me through these recordings.
You got more beers. We'll be fine.
Yes, I do.
The Vikings just had a crazy trick play where Jefferson got it on one side, flipped it back across to Cook, made it down into like around the 5-yard area, and then Madison scored, and they like put all the graphics up on the screen for Cook scoring.
Oh man.
Oops.
Amazing. All right, Hoppy, tell us about your weekend. You know, this is the Hoppy show here in this segment. You got up to a lot, you drank a lot of beer. I want to hear about your favorite holiday of the year in American Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Thanksgiving, which again, while Americans are definitely superior in their Thanksgiving, they are not superior this year in Olympic jerseys. Holy shit, Isha. That we'll cover that another time. But
it was bad. It's bad.
It's so bad.
So bad. Like the Vancouver Canucks play, so bad.
When, dude, and yours are actually pretty sweet.
Dude, I love them.
Some people seem conflicted, so I don't get that. But.
Yeah, no, people just want to rile me up.
Yeah.
Nick Floor.
I mean, you want to rile people up too, so it happens. So yeah, after Thanksgiving, went out and did a whole road swing up through North Dakota. Yes, that's right, North Dakota. I think I logged a good like 12, 13 driving hours over the course of all of this between going up north for Thanksgiving and then making these roundabouts. But first stop that I made on Friday out to the Brewhalla. That's right, Drecker Brewing.
Nice.
Met up with our boy Mark Bjornstad, and as long as I didn't mush something, whether that's with the audio or the video, we have coming up here on the BrewTube first on-site recording. We actually got a live tour of
nice.
The venue, so we'll see. That fingers crossed that I didn't fuck that up. But Mark, no shock to anyone that listened to the interview we had with him. Just an incredible host. Talked about a lot, but also sent me with a nice care package of some of their bottle releases they just had. Also gave me, they had like legit maple syrup.
Ooh.
That they like aged in bourbon barrels.
That, that's what he was telling us about that in the interview. Yeah, yeah, cool.
So, I mean, across the board, anyone that hasn't been out there that's a fan of the beers, or maybe this is your first time hearing about the beers, incredible tap room. You go out there, it's lined with pinball machines, and one of which is South Park, and I'll nice. Absolutely be putting up some high scores on that someday.
I'm on season six, by the way. Season six.
Season six, you're yeah. rolling. Okay, I'm rolling. I like it. And the tap room, which this will come full circle with another one I stopped at as well, but like you've seen their can art. Just imagine what's on the walls of this brewery. The murals. It's pretty incredible. Cool. Some of the stuff that they have throughout just for the decor. But you also see the footprint right next door. It's not done yet, but next fall, we're going to have the whole additional facility. It's going to be wild, folks. If you did not listen, please go back, whether it's on YouTube or podcast, and check out our interview with Mark Bjornstad. Like, the greatest people, really good beers. If you're not aware, you need to be. So I'm actually drinking right now one of his favorites. And Isha, I know I've already shown this one to you, but
so sick.
Really cool can art. They collaborated on this one with Electric Brewing out in California, but Operation Magical. And I mean, it's pretty much par for the course. Looks like I'm drinking Ooh. Orange juice, and why shouldn't it? Just the best stuff. And
your glass game, man, by the way, second to none. For those who are listening on the podcast, just subscribe to either us on Twitter or Facebook, because we usually post a lot of beer clips, and most likely going to post these ones. Hoppy's showing off his beautiful glasses there.
It's not me. They're the ones that provide the beer.
I only have one, and it's from Salt Spring Wild Cidery.
And it looks like it's for like a hobbit or something.
Yes.
quite small, for those who don't get the reference.
Quite small.
Quite small. But nope, incredible chat there. And went straight from there then up to Grand Forks. And holy shit, man. Everyone has talked about it. Everyone gushes about it. Oh, Ralph Engelstad. Yep, it's a great arena. Dude, it's probably the best hockey arena I've ever watched a game in.
Wow. Like,
not even going to second guess myself on that. Really cool experience. And I mean, everyone knows this, but man, the fan base there was incredible. Electric all the way through the end of the game, even though the Gophers were kind of handing it to them the first game that I went to. I was there on Friday night. But man, we were literally at the very top row of the rink, and like we could see no problem, like great view. They had bars on each end of the rink that you could go and get drinks at and just stand right on the end and watch. I don't even know how to properly do it justice without you just going there and seeing it yourself. But like, state-of-the-art facility, absolutely a place you need to go at some point. And regardless of which MNCAA team you support, go book that trip for whenever it is that you actually have your team up there playing. Swing through Drecker, swing through also my last stop of the trip, which was, of course, Junkyard Brewing, which is right next to Drecker. But I knew that if I stopped at both, I wouldn't make it up to the game. So I had to break that up. But I have to for sure give a shout out here. Good friend of the Soda Pod, OG listener too. He was listener before friend. Austin Rickliffs, he was the wingman for the night. He's the one that went to the game with me. UND alum, grew up a Gopher fan, so we had a conversation about how that whole transition happened. But he also apparently good childhood friends with the Senden family. For those of you who are familiar, Mark Senden, who is the captain of the UND hockey team, and I wasn't able to watch the game because we didn't have proper viewing access at the cabin once I got home. But Saturday night, two goals en route to a victory over the Gophers for a split on the weekend. Mark Senden, good old YZ boy. But yes, after all of the shenanigans there with Austin, we actually checked out two in Grand Forks, one of his personal favorites in Half Brother Brewing.
Okay.
Solid beers, and the workers there all had their own Nodak jerseys that had customization on the back that said Half Brothers.
Nice.
So they all get into it. But on the way back, had to make a stop at Junkyard for a long time. So Junkyard and Drecker have been two of my favorite breweries, and that's all just having what they have distributed in a can. And both of them did not miss at all on site. Beers on tap, even better somehow than what they distribute. And just like Drecker, they had really cool, like, murals, essentially, like different artwork across the brewery. And kind of going to call you guys out here. AJ, Brock, if you happen to be listening, I've already told Isha that at some point you guys are going to be jumping on the podcast with us. So now you're pot committed. Can't back out. That's just, don't ask me. That's the laws of podcasting. Yeah. Really cool guys. They both weren't around when I popped in on Saturday, but have both said big hockey guys, excited to jump on here with us at some point. So looking forward to that. But Junkyard had to mark off the special occasion. 100th Minnesota brewery that I have attended, and it doesn't even make sense to me. Like, I think about it and it feels like it's been like 25.
Dylan loaded the pad up with some clips apparently, so here we fucking go. We're gonna get funky on the rest of this episode.
What did you think that was?
Well, all it said was horn, so I'm like, okay. I have his little notepad here.
There you go. That works. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, end of the day, awesome experience. Everyone should make a similar trek like I did whenever your team is playing up there. Incredible, incredible ice rink. And again, I just can't speak highly enough about those two breweries that are literally less than 10 minutes away from each other across the border. And on my way going from the cabin to Drecker, I went right past Junkyard without even like trying to do that.
Oh, really?
And then between the two, I'll have to check my work on this, but I think there was two or three other breweries on the way. Ooh. So like that could just be a whole little staycation in itself.
Well, especially when, you know, Drecker gets the whole facility built next year. You're so close. You can just stay there at the hotel, walking distance to some other breweries. I mean, man, you whip out the old bicycle.
We'll figure something out.
Hell yeah. Oof.
Gonna need training wheels.
I've been riding my bike in this BC monsoon, man. I'm getting pretty good at this. It's nuts here. Fuck, man, that sounds like an amazing weekend. And to top it all off, again, we'll probably clip a little bit of this, or people will see this on our social media. But I see you have a new jersey hanging behind you. You took Koivu's
that's
down.
That's right, and it wasn't designed by Martin Brodeur, so it looks good. Oh man.
Wow.
Yes, had to put it up, and I'm so happy that this showed up already. Gonna be donning it for the Cup Snake game against the Arizona Coyotes. Had to do it, especially because again, you all know my obsession with Phil Kessel. My wife is equally obsessed with Phil Kessel, so we definitely have to be out there for that one. But Pitlick, hey, he is one of our guys now. Like, it's it's a pretty short list at this point, Isha. Addison, yeah. Pitlick, like, those are the guys that I'll die for.
Hey, I'm in Duhame's camp too. I'm not gonna lie.
No, absolutely. But yeah. That's more you and Z. Like, I can't claim. I got onto that bandwagon really late, but earliest adopter on Kalen Addison, and relatively early adopter on Rem Pitlick. Dude, I just going back to watching that kid for the Gophers.
He's good, man.
I have nothing negative to say about him.
He's very good. And points in, I think, the two of the last three games here, which we'll get into next year as we dive into some Minnesota Wild talk on episode 230 of the Soda Pod. Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but with the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state or province yet, you can still get in on all the NFL action. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Let's start with the Devils game. And Hoppy, I'm going to eat crow here. I was giving you shit. I've been giving you shit all season thus far about the New Jersey Devils. And I've watched a little bit of them, and I'm just like, oh, they're just the Devils again. They're still rebuilding. They're not a good team. I did a watch-along with our boy Neil Villapiano, the Devil State of Mind podcast. Wild took on the Devils, and the Wild came out hot. You know, they came out scoring more, shooting more. But the Devils were a good team. It was a good hockey game. It was back and forth. I would say the Devils matched their intensity, matched, you know, the pace that the Wild were setting most of the game. And it's clear that they don't have as much talent as the Wild. And it's funny to say that in comparison to the Wild now, they are now a talented team. They do have a bunch of talent up and down their roster. And that was evident. But they came back, much like the New Jersey Devils did in facing the Tampa Bay Lightning, I think a day or two prior to that game as well. They came back in the third period, and they got a point out of it as well, as the Wild won in a shootout. But credit to both teams there. I don't think the Wild had a poor performance by any means. And again, New Jersey came to play. So Hoppy, everyone can hear us on the podcast. I'm sorry, the New Jersey Devils. They're a good team right now, and they're going to be a great team when more and more of their prospects pop.
Yeah, man, and like I said to you before we jumped on here, obviously getting Hughes back will be huge for them at some point, but this is a team that's really for a long time been without defense. Like, their blue line's been pretty rough. Like, PK Subban has been their best defender at points, and I just think the way they've retooled and reconstructed that, yeah, and been able to take advantage of teams that weren't either – couldn't re-sign a guy like Dougie Hamilton, or taking advantage of the Avalanche, who had to get rid of a guy, otherwise they were going to lose him to the expansion. They have a nice little blue line that they're putting together there, and that alone, if they can get decent play from Mackenzie Blackwood, this is a team that everyone's going to have to be worried about going down the stretch. Now, whether they make the playoffs or not, it'll be interesting. I think it's possible. And we'll get into that a lot more if you all want to tune back in on Wednesday when we're dropping the episode where we just go ham on all of the divisions, because you all think it's a gimmick. It's not. I literally did not look at the standings before Thursday morning of Thanksgiving. And that is like a mini holiday in and of itself for me, where I finally get to like not deep dive, like I'm not pulling all the analytics, but just going back and looking at how teams are doing against each other versus the eye test of like, I've probably seen every team play like three times at least.
Yeah.
But kind of tying that all in with seeing like what they've done over the course of the year so far. And Devils are one of the ones that I'll just tease it here. Like, I think that they are a team that has a chance to make a push down the stretch.
Hey, they hit the post four times in that game too. Talbot had a 95 save percentage, saved 40 out of 42 shots. Hartman had his 10th goal of the year, and Sturm also scored a goal. So that was a fun game there. And speaking of fun games, and it's funny, we talked up the Jets. Oh, the Jets are doing so good. The Jets are having a great start to the season. Boom, the Jets go on a four-game losing skid and get absolutely blown out, spanked by the Minnesota Wild, who are dominating at the top of the Central Division at the time of this recording. I mean, I'd say the Wild solidified themselves as the team to beat in the Central after that game. Kaprizov 4 points, Fiala 2, Duhame 1, and our boy Rem Pitlick also got an assist in that game. It was just an utter domination. The Jets, it's funny, Hellebuck before the game was like, oh yeah, we got to come out strong. We will come back strong. Like, we're all focused, whatever. Boom, scored in like the first minute. So Hellebuck's off his game, and it seems like the Jets are having trouble scoring goals. I believe they've only scored like four or five times in this four game losing streak.
Well, and Hellebuck's been very hit or miss. Like, he's had really good moments so far this season. He's had some questionable ones like this one.
Scoring's the issue, I think, right now on this particular skid.
Sure, but still, letting up seven, you're never going to be okay there. No. But for me, I'm not ready to crown the Wild the team to beat in the Central. I think they've definitely performed way better than either of us expected coming in. But until we see a healthy Colorado Avalanche team, like, to me, that's going to be the team to beat in the Central. I don't care what's happened so far this year. They've had injuries, and they're going to be a scary team, even if it's Darcy Kuemper.
Keyword until.
They're still hanging in there, though. They're barely behind.
I know. That's what happens when you're as deep as them and you're that talented. Right. And we were critical of the Wild, I think, in fairness, the beginning of the season, Hall, because they were beating easy teams. Now, 100%. The Anaheim Ducks, they've turned out to be a hell of a team to beat as well, and we'll get into that again more on Wednesday and a little bit here at the end of this podcast. But revenge against the Tampa Bay Lightning, who the Minnesota Wild had an incredible game against, losing in shootout just a few days ago. They defeated them today 4-2, and Tampa gave them a tough game. I thought Tampa played pretty much as well as Tampa Bay plays. They never gave in. The Wild kept pushing, and also Victor Rask is a motherfucking god. Fiala had 6 shots on net with 1 assist. Hartman with his 11th goal of the season, 15 point in 20 games. Oh my god, what a goddamn beauty. And again, another one for Rem Pitlick. And another one, another assist. This guy, what a season he's had thus far, Hoppy. 9 points, 4 goals in 12 games.
Yeah, and I mean, the biggest part of that for me is the team is showing that there is, not at center, but organizationally, like, there's depth, right? There are guys in the bottom six that someone gets hurt, they're okay throwing them up. I don't think that, you know, a long-term loss of a Spurgeon, a Brodin, or a Kaprizov is something that's going to be largely navigable. But outside of that, like, any depth that needs to be pulled up, if you have Zuccarello or Fiala fall out for a period of time, if you have some of these guys that are in the middle six, even top six, go down, dude, you have no problem for a couple of games throwing a Rem Pitlick up there. Shit, even a Brandon Duhaime. Like, these guys are playing good hockey, and it's just a really important thing down the stretch. Like, I've seen it for the last decade plus with Pittsburgh, where, like, they don't have studs up and down the lineup, but they have a lot of guys that can play any role when called upon, if it's for shorter stints. So it is cool to see that we kind of have that for the first time in a while. Like, there's always been really defined roles. Like, you were in the top six or you were in the bottom six and you knew why, right? So I think that's a big piece.
Hey, and Alex Goligoski, 13 points in 18 games. Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. You were right. This guy's killing it right now. And as Brett Marshall, actually, our friend, check him out on Twitter at B_Marsh92. He had a great tweet that came out today. He said, tonight was just the second time in the season where the Minnesota Wild blue line didn't register at least 1 point. The only other one was in the 4-1 loss to the Seattle Kraken on October 28th, ending a 13-game streak. So there you have it. There's even offense coming from the blue line, which is something that in Minnesota, they're more or less a shutdown blue line other than, you know, Matt Dumba going wild. Or in the past, Ryan Suter setting up everything that moves on the team. So it's really cool to see that the depth organizationally, like you said, you know, goes even into the blue line there. And Brodin, though some of the goals are comical, as most of them are empty netters, but when Brodin, like, gets in on the offense, like, he's there to play. And they're incredible sequences and whatnot. So yeah, I'm really impressed with this team thus far this season. And that Tampa Bay game today, it just showed, like, we got the best Tampa Bay, maybe not the best Vasilevsky as we saw there. I mean, you let in Victor Rask.
You didn't give him crazy eyes. That's the only reason.
There you go.
And but hang on, Isha, I got to stop you for a second.
Okay.
Vikings going nuts. Scores 31-26 and the Vikings got a kick return touchdown. Like, this game is going off the rails. I'm at this point, like, maybe 2/3 paying attention to everything Isha says, but go ahead and continue on the Vasilevsky comments.
No, I mean, Hoppy did say, Ishii, you're pretty much driving the bus today because the Viking game is on. But no, I was just saying, other than Vasilevsky, who was, he was fine. He wasn't out of his mind. Tampa was the best version of the Tampa Bay Lightning in this game. And the Wild came with the best version of the Wild, and they were able to beat them 4-2. So Foligno getting the empty net goal. Foligno actually lighting up Patty Maroon on a nice hit in that game too. Maroon didn't even know where he didn't even know where he was. He didn't even know who hit him. And that's I was clamming for a fight on Twitter. I was like, let's go. These guys got to throw down. That would be awesome, but didn't happen.
Did you watch the game or did you just watch Z's feed?
I watched the game.
Okay.
I mean, I was prepping for the podcast, but I had it on the screen right okay, right in front of me here.
Fair enough. And so the one thing that you'll probably be a little caught off guard by at first, but the one thing that worries me with kind of the direction the Wild have been going so far, besides center depth, but that's a constant with me, I'm worried about goaltending.
Yeah.
Because Talbot's been incredible. He's been lights out. It doesn't seem like they have any interest in giving Kokkonen more ice time.
I've noticed that.
And one, that's bad if anything were to happen to Talbot and Kokkonen's just thrown in out of nowhere. But I'm more worried long-term. Dude, that's a lot of fucking games that he's going to be playing in. It's like, true. Now the NHL might not even be going to the Olympics, which means he doesn't get that Olympic break that I was counting on for him, which that's assuming he didn't end up being Canada's starter.
And he will be Canada's starter. You heard it here first. Man. I hope so.
He could, but that's the thing, man. If he's not getting that Olympic break in either fashion, that's just not a recipe for success.
Kokkonen needs more reps. Kokkonen needs more reps because I don't think he's even he's not fresh yet.
I care less about his reps though, which I do think he should get more. I agree.
But you have to shake out the cobwebs.
Talbot having too many.
No, I know, but I think it's twofold. I think it's twofold. Yeah, like you have to give Talbot some games off, and you have to have your backup ready with polished with no more cobwebs to shake off. And like Kakanen's been fine in some of his games. There's been moments of excellence. Like he's had a couple glove saves that have been out of this world. But overall, and maybe I'm just being too critical, but I'm not as confident watching him as I was last year. Not yet. So I think he needs some more reps. But again, you're winning. You're top of the central. I get what the coaching is doing, but the coaching is living in the moment right now, I think. And they're not looking at, okay, 2 months down the road, either we got a tired Talbot or a banged up Talbot. How is this team really going to compete when there've been games that he has stolen for the Wild this season?
Rask for Murray, 50% salary retained. Done. And we even come out basically a mil ahead. Do it.
You better clip that. Oh, man. All right. We have a lot of just NHL talk to cover in our Wednesday episode. So stay tuned for that in a couple days, everybody. Running down all the divisions as Hoppy previewed earlier in this episode. So we won't get into any other NHL talk today. I'll save my notes on the Ducks and Canucks for that episode.
Oh, I got plenty of notes on the Ducks, buddy. That was that was 50% of my Thanksgiving review was being like, oh fuck, they might be real.
I love it. Quickly, do you want to talk a little bit about your Minnesota Golden Gophers who had a hell of a game this weekend too?
I'm not gonna be a phony here by any means, and I'll say outright that they are not my team. I definitely pull for them largely when they're not playing my team, but I'm not going to sit here and say, I'm a diehard Gopher football fan because I'm a depressed Nebraska fan. So, but so cool. Especially, to be honest, it could have been any team. I don't care. You beat Wisconsin, I'm happy.
There you go. I read a few articles on it and it was insane. Again, I didn't watch the game, but I saw the aftermath. I follow everybody on Wild Twitter, which Everybody there seems like they're a Minnesota Gophers football fan. Madison.com's Jim Polzin had a funny headline saying, Wisconsin's football failure against rival Minnesota, a disgrace to the program. That made me smile. the rivalry trophy, the Paul Bunyan's axe is back with the Gophers. And the Minnesota Gophers picked up their first home win over the motherfucking Badgers since 2003. So, again, whether you're a Minnesota Gophers fan or if you just hate Wisconsin like Hoppy here. I mean, all that I just mentioned must just make you smile. So I wanted to highlight that on this episode before we end here.
Oh, have to. And I will say, though, as much as I love that they beat Wisconsin football, because I know that's really what Wisconsin fans care about, that's not the rivalry. The rivalry is what I attended this weekend. North Dakota hockey versus Gopher hockey will forever be, for me, the greatest rivalry that there is in sports. And it's so sad that they don't play each other regularly like they used to. But hey, Paul Bunyan's axe got to be up in the top tier of trophies to win.
So sick. Sweet. So sick.
They got to come up with a cool celly with that too. Like where like someone like dresses up like the Badger and they just start hacking them.
They're going to say like bring out a big like thing of wood and everyone just gets a good fucking hack at like the stump or something.
No, there's got to be a fake Badger or something that they just swing at.
Oh man, like that would fly in 2021. But anyways, that about does it for this episode. Again, Wednesday is going to be a fun one, so tune in. And thanks to everybody tuning in here on Google, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Folks, the best thing you can do for us this week, any week, is give us 5 stars on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. Go listen to our website if you want more hockey podcasts, thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. And on your app, please download the episode before you listen, as it just helps our business. Check us out on YouTube as well. Just look up The Soda Pod, subscribe and like the videos. You can follow myself on Twitter at VI Sports Talk. You can follow The Soda Pod at The Soda Pod on Facebook and Twitter. And you can follow the Hockey Podcast Network at Hockey Pod Net. And of course, Hoppy here at State of Hoppy. I had someone on the watch along, Hoppy, who was huge on TikTok. And they're asking, because they started listening to The Soda Pod, actually. They hit us up on a watch along, asked if I did a podcast, directed them to The Soda Pod. And now they're like a diehard listener. So their favorite guest, by the way, is Judd Zolgad. They absolutely love Judd. But yeah, they're asking us if we're on TikTok, and I directed them to you. So yeah,
doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, but if you got a new TikTok follower lately, it's one of our new diehard Soda Pod fans. So thank you very much for the support.
And everyone, you need to. There's 2 days left. Check out either Carly Zucker or her husband on Twitter, or go to UNRL and get the shirt. Support Jason Zucker against Brian Rust, even though I love them both dearly. Hey, it's all going towards a good cause, but the shirt is worth it. It's incredible.
Amazing.
Very, very comfy. Good cause. And it goes to the Mario Lemieux Foundation. So Isha even supports it.
Oh, 100%. Greatest player of all time. What a stash Zucker has, by the way. I watched a little bit of the Penguin.
Oh, yes.
I watched a little bit of the Penguins destroy the Vancouver Canucks the other day. Anyways, with that, signing off. Canucks are so fucking bad. I'm Isha Jerome alongside the State of Hoppy. I'm not bitter at all. This has been the Soda Pod presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. We good, man?
Not bitter at all.
Don't fear. Just drink some beer and stay wild.